Abayisai, I saw a very nice, just earlier, today, I saw a very nice, I just opened up a sefer and I saw the following word. I thought, that's brilliant. We mentioned that on Thursday, this Gemara. So there is this Gemara in Shabbos about Elisha Bal Kenafayim. The story how he ran away when he was wearing tefillin. It was a time, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us it was dangerous times. It was the times that the Romans didn't allow anyone to wear tefillin. It was one of those mitzvahs that the Romans... And it was under the Chiyuv Misa, I believe, even. The Gemara says that Elisha was wearing tefillin the whole day, not just during davening like we do, but he was wearing, and this Roman soldiers saw him wearing tefillin. He ran up, and when he was caught red-handed, he ran away. And eventually the soldier caught up with him, and then he quickly wrapped him up, put him in his hand, and then remember, all the nays happened, instead of having tefillin in his hand, when he was challenged by the soldier, he opened up his hand, and what was there? A yoino, a bird was there, a dove, and I'm totally innocent, often, you know, I was fine and everything. And then and the nays happened that instead of having tefillin, it was a yoino in his hand. And commemorating this, the way we put the way we wrap up the tefillin, the minig is to do a yoino, remembering Elisha Bal Kenafayim. The question I saw today was that if we picture ourselves Elisha, the big Amoira Elisha, chances are that, I mean, the way I picture myself is that it was very limited chance that a Roman soldier is going to be able to, limited chance that he's going to be able to escape from a Roman soldier. I mean, if you picture, you know, the average Talmud Chacham, the average Rav, and you picture yourself the average Roman soldier, his escape is not going to be, presumably he's not going to be able to escape for very long before he's going to be caught. So, presumably, you know, I mean, you know, I picture myself this long white beard and, you know, this big robe and this Roman soldier that it takes seconds until he's going to catch up with him. So therefore, the question is, why did he bother in the first place? You're gonna raise your hand and say, "Oh, you know, you're gonna anyway have to rely on the net." So why did he try to escape in the first place? It didn't make any sense. Once he saw that the Roman soldiers after him, he should have, you know, why did he run? Why did he try to escape in the first place? It was going to diminish his chance of his survival. Why did he do that? So the answer I saw today. Apparently, it's from the Vilna Gaon. I saw this quote by Ramalach Biederman quotes the Vilna Gaon, but I don't exactly know where the Vilna Gaon is. But he says as follows: he says, because Elisha Bal Kenafayim, he realized, he knew the value of wearing the mitzvah tefillin even for additional few seconds. So of course he knew he's going to be caught. Of course he knew, but at the same time he also knew the value of mitzvah tefillin. So he said, "Well, I'm going to wear the tefillin for another half a minute. It's worth it. Let me run. Let me run for my life. Let me run until he catches me. The mitzvah tefillin is so precious. Mitzvah tefillin is so special that another few minutes of that mitzvah is worth running away from him." So it's like the Gemara really gives us a lesson about the chashivas, the beauty and the value of the mitzvah tefillin. Another few seconds, another few minutes. So that's a very nice word. He then Ramalach Biederman adds a very interesting Gemara as well, which it's a Shulchan Aruch. They study Arab. We had on Matzah Shabbos. The minhag is on Matzah Shabbos Maariv. One extra. I think a lot of people lately. I've noticed a lot of people are not so makpid on that. When we say the Vurachum, that's right. The Shulchan Aruch says that the one has to extend the Vurachum a little bit. Even the Bochur is to be extended a little bit. Now. It has to be a bit longer. You don't say vehurachum. You make it within an extended knach, as we say. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Resh Tadi Aleph. Why so? Because the neshamas of the we know that the neshamas of the in Gehenna they're taken away over Shabbos, and then anybody's in Gehenna over Shabbos has got, you know, it's Gehenna is not heat. They can get a free day off, kind of. The Shabbos, on Shabbos, the Neshamas have got a... So they have... Pardon?
The Svarish,
yeah. So the question is... So they say, so therefore, the halacha is that just make the Vurachum and the Bochum a little bit longer. Don't rush. They have another, you know, like give them a bit of time out there, you know.
So it happened until Did he have Malav and Malka?
It says until Bochum.
I think, was he a Tana or an Amara? It's Robert, the one who was.
Elisha Balkanfaim, I believe it was an Amara.
But it would have been a Tana.
Interesting. I don't know.
It's interesting.
I don't know. So they say, so he wants to compare the two, and he says, we see from here, well, just a few, the importance of time, the value of time, just the value of time, you know, the chshivas of staying a bit, doing that boch a little bit longer. Like Elisha Balkan Fahim realized the chshivas of time, of wearing tefillin for, you know, a few minutes, so also to have a Shabbos, a few more seconds of Shabbos, how precious. I thought it's an interesting comparison. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, today I want to discuss the halacha of Simon Lamed Aleph. We kept Seif Beis separately because it's a fascinating discussion. It's Unrab, which is Aloch of Tefillin Chol HaMoed. Very, very interesting discussion. Just out of curiosity, who over here wears Tefillin Chol HaMoed? Do you wear? Yeah, you wear Tefillin. Okay, because it's, I don't know. Let's see. Shulchanok Seif Beis and Simon Lamed Aleph. B'chol HaMoed Gam Kein Also Niach Tefillin. We discussed previous year that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, one doesn't wear tefillin. Why doesn't one not wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov?
Ois.
It's Yom Tov is Shabbos, ois. And that contradicts, that clashes with the ois of tefillin. So the Shulchan Aruch adds, we have Chalamid Gam Ken also. On Chalamid also, there is also Niach tefillin. Ma'atam Azeh Be'atzma, for this very reason, because the days of Chol HaMoed are also considered an ois. It's also an ois. So Shulchan Aruch holds that what? No tefillin Chol HaMoed. Shulchan Aruch holds no tefillin Chol HaMoed because it's an ois. The Ramah disagrees, and the Ramah says, "V'yesh oimrim shechol HaMoed chayv b'tefillin." The Ramah says, "No. On Chol HaMoed." One does put on tefillin. And that is the mendek in all the glilois, in all those areas. To put on tefillin Chol HaMoed and to make a brach on it. Elo, only. You don't make a brach aloud. You don't make a brach aloud in shul. Like the other days of the year. So that teaches us a little bit about how they put on tefillin in the times of the Ramah. When they put on tefillin, they made the brachas generally loud and clear. They made the brachas loud and clear. So the Ramah says, no. The minhag in our countries is on Chol HaMoed, we do put on tefillin. Of course we. And not only we put on tefillin, we put on tefillin with the bracha as well. But the only difference is on Chol HaMoed, we will make the bracha quietly in shul. So far, what have we seen? We've seen two minhagim. The minhag of Shulchan Aruch is not to put on tefillin at all, and the Ramah's minhag is to put it on with the bracha. Just the bracha is recited quietly. So who has got that minhag so far? So we've got. Is that? That's not. I don't think that's what the. What? No bracha. No bracha? No bracha. No bracha. Does anybody put on with bracha? Well, let's start off with the minhag of the yekkers. The real, undiluted yekkers. They do, still to this very day, recite the brachas on tefillin, on Chol HaMoed to this very day. So that minhag still exists, but it is, it's clearly... it's getting quite rare. It's one of those threatened and vulnerable minhagim, but there is still some people who do. The general Litvish minhag is to put on without the bracha. Let's see where that comes from. Siv Cotton Vav in Mishnebura Gam Kenim Ois first white line. So. בפסח אכילת מצה בסוכה זה שבעה סוכה ויש אום סביר לו כיוון שמתירים ביסס מלוכים מן התורה לכאויס. Very interesting. So this Mishnah Berurah explains to us, where does that come from, that the יש אומים? Where does the יש אומים come from, that you do put on Tefillin. I mean, in essence, the Shulchan Aruch is right. It's Yom Tov. It is Yom Tov. It's an ois. The ois of Sukkah is present. The ois of Matzah is also there. So why? So it's a Yom Tov. So the ois is there. So why would you put on tefillin? It makes a lot of sense not to put on tefillin. Like on Yom Tov itself, we don't put on tefillin. Cholamid also, the Shulchan Aruch makes a lot of sense. It's still the Yom Tov. The Yom Tov is still there. There's a Sukkah is still there. Matzah is still there. So just because it's Cholamid, why not? So the Mishnah Berurah explains that Yesh Oim Svil, Yesh Oim holds. He said that the ois is cancelled, the ois is taken away, the ois is removed because of the fact that you're allowed to do melochas. That itself requires a bit of thought. What's exactly ois contradicting melocha? Why is that exactly? But that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Because you do melochas, therefore there is no ois. Okay. Now the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Zayin goes into the timing of the taking off of the tefillin. When do we take off those who do put on tefillin? When do we take them off? Mishnah Berurah of Katan says, "Danichum Moed the Chalitz of tefillin." When do you take the tefillin off? Tzorich Liyois Bechol Amoed Koidem Halel. You take off tefillin before Halel. Is that what everybody does? Oh. So he said the exception. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, interestingly, he doesn't mention it here, but yes. So he says, Mishnah Berurah says, you do take them off before Halev. Some of the minhag to take them off, not just before Halev, but rather after the Kedusha of Shemoneh Esrei, which is, I think, a very, very common, I think that's a universal minhag nowadays. You take them off after Kedusha. So not just before Halev. Not just before Halev. We don't make an interruption. We don't make a hafzek. So we take them off after Kedusha of Shachris, Mikol Mokim Tzichin Nizor, Lechav Nishmer Chazor Satfila, but you still should have Kavona, that when you take Tefillin off, you should concentrate and not lose out on Chazor Satshatz. Okay. Yes, so that probably, yes, I think that probably, yeah, because I think that a lot of, Rabbi said, well, what's the minhag of the Baal Tefillah? When does he take off the tefillin?
I don't know, but isn't it a bit early to take off before Shatz?
I think that some Baal Tefillah do that. Rabbi said, anybody Baal Tefillah? I'm sure you have taken Chol HaMoed. I think that a lot of Baal Tefillah will take before Shachis. Or you can't, some people, I suppose, prefer to do it after, it's true, some do after, just before Halal. The reason against it is because it's a bit of a hefsek. So, there's nothing really wrong with taking it before Chazat Shatz. Nothing really wrong with it, and it's a bit early, but it's nothing wrong with it, really. Now, because the Mishnah Berurah taught us earlier that there is a halacha of going straight from Shemoneh Esrei into Halal without the hefsek. For instance, one is not meant to talk. For instance, one is not meant to, until after Halal.
Sorry, Halal.
Yeah. Mishnah Berurah said earlier that we should go straight from, if possible, one should not be mafsik between Shemoneh Esrei and Halal. Sifkoten Ches, Mishnah Berurah continues now. Okay, so far, again, we've seen two minhagim. The minhag of Shulchan Aruch is not to put on tefillin because it's an ois. By the way, I'm going to mention here that those who understand Kabbalah, and those who learn Kabbalah, and those who are well-versed in the Kisvei Ari, they also say that on Kabbalah it is very wrong to put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Very much in line with what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Ramah's opinion was you can't put on tefillin, and in fact you do recite bracha as well. Sifkot M'ches, Mishnah Berurah says, Perish, Mishum so you don't make a bracha loud, Perish, Mishum Diyesh Manichim, Vyesh Manichim, some do and some don't put on. So you're going to say the bracha quietly, Kidei Shalov V'de Machloikas, in order to avoid Machloikas. If everybody is going to start making brachas loud, like usual, you're going to end up having a machloikas in shul, and it's not worth it. Therefore, everybody, even if you put on tefillin, you're going to say the brachas quietly. V'chein, simli lo leyelich, behem b'reshus rabim, lebeis ha-knesset, we have spoken previously, we learned, it is a great inyan to walk to shul whilst wearing talis and tefillin. We saw that earlier. It's a very great inyan from the Zohar HaKadosh, it's a very great inyan. So he says, no, Chol HaMoed, don't do that. Don't do that, because it's plenty. He's not there, don't put on tefillin. So it seems wrong to start wearing tefillin in the street. Even don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed in the street.
Even by something like
this. Yeah, it sounds like generally, because it's going to lead to machloikas. And here comes now what appears to be the third and middle opinion. No. Actually, you do put on, but you don't recite the bracha. Why? Ki bracha is in a mak voice, because brachas are not ma'akev. V'sofik brachas lehokel. So the Taz, the way it's quoted in Mishneh Berurah, he paskens based on two separate concepts that one should put on tefillin, but one should not recite the brachas. Where does he come from? On the one hand, he wants to catch, it's a sofik deraisa. You could be there's an obligation to put on tefillin. So if there is an obligation to put on tefillin, you want to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. On the other hand, sofik brachas, brachas enem akvos, you are, and you will always fulfill a mitzvah even if you didn't say the bracha. Say somebody ate a matzah without the bracha, someone shook talaminim without the bracha, or somebody put on tefillin without the bracha, he still became the mitzvah. Yeah, that's a good question. So you're asking, as we say in Yiddish, halbatzora. So he's going to put on the first few days without that. And the question which I saw the poskim discuss in greater detail, he'll put it on like if his family's meaning is to put on without the bracha, he'll put it on without the bracha. The question is, I thought you were asking something else, which the poskim do discuss in great detail, is what if somebody's minhag is not to put on tefillin at all, and that the bar mitzvah boy, he's part of the minhag of not putting on at all, and his bar mitzvah falls in Chol HaMoed. Yeah, I know, but so I would have thought so too, that if that's his minhag, so like, you know, the bar mitzvah falls in Shabbos and Yom Tov, also not going to put on, so certainly also. Yeah, but I saw the Lemaise, they say that he should perhaps put it on. Just put it on. Really? I saw some of that minute. Yeah. So the Taz says a third opinion, that they should put on tefillin, but don't recite the bracha. Ubifrat shagor kosav de'en l'das yishoim ikav shas. The Vilna Gaon says there is no mekoyer in shas. The opinion of the Ramah seems to be a little bit strange and difficult to understand, says the Vilna Gaon, because according to the simple understanding of the Gemara, Chol HaMoed is no time for tefillin. So it says, so if so, the Ramah is hard to understand, so it makes sense to put it on without the bracha. Certainly you don't recite the bracha, it doesn't sound like a good idea to say a bracha putting on Chol HaMoed. Gam. Now, an additional chumra in the Mishneh Berurah. Kodem anocha, yachshu b'daitoi. He says, why don't you do the following suggestion? Im ani mechuyev, you should make the following tnai. Im ani mechuyev, if I'm obligated to put on tefillin, ani minich on Hashem mitzvah. If I'm obligated to put on tefillin, I should put on Hashem mitzvah. Ve'im lav, but if I'm not obligated to put on tefillin, if Chol HaMoed is not a zman of tefillin, I'm just putting on as an ornament, I'm not putting on for Hashem mitzvah. Like this, you're fulfilling all opinions. Because it's the Mishnah is concerned about Baal Tosef. What happens if you do put on tefillin, and in reality, it's not Zman tefillin? You'd go over on Baal Tosef, says the Mishnah. Baal Tosef. How can you put on tefillin? Forget about the bracha. How can you put on tefillin? It's Baal Tosef. You're adding a mitzvah. Shalei bizmanoi. So he says, you should have in mind that tonight, that if it's not Zman mitzvah, I'm not doing it l'shem mitzvah. Kimen she'en mechav manachos l'shem mitzvah v'adai. V'kol shken she'en lochush b'zeh l'yisur zilzul shel oiz Chol HaMoed. D'zeh gamken elom l'ischav v'n'shem mitzvah. And also, you're not going to be breaching the zilzul of Chol HaMoed because you're not intending to do a mitzvah. Certainly, Rabbeinu Tam shouldn't be put on Chol HaMoed. Yeah.
Well, you could say you're
feeling lots of protection. Yeah, you could say that as well. It could be a similar kavana. Yeah. So Rabbi Yisai, here comes the third minig. Minig one, Shulchan Aruch, don't put on. That's the Chassidim, that's the Kabbalah. Minig Aramah, put on. Make a bracha, but make the bracha quietly. And then we've got the middle of the way, which is the Mishnebu in the name of the Taz. Put it on without the bracha. And within that, we have an additional knach of the Mishnebu. It says, if you're not putting it on, if you're putting it on without the bracha, why don't you just make it tonight as well? If I am, then I'm a kind of if it's my mitzvah, then I'm a kind of mitzvah. It's not as a mitzvah, I'm just doing it as an ornament. And like this, you're a kind of mitzvah. So there's three, that's in the third, in the middle opinion, there's an extra knach to make the tonight of the Mishnebu. Yeah. So I don't know. It might be a way of finding out. Pardon?
Someone wants to know.
Yeah, it could be interesting to find out. I don't know. I didn't see anything on it. It would be very interesting to find out. I believe that the Mishnah Berurah said this for somebody who doesn't have a specific minhag. I don't think the Mishnah Berurah meant over here that a person should change his minhag and do it the way he suggests over here. If a person is going to clear Mesorah, you know, Chofetz Chaim is apparently was quoted by a few of his Talmidim saying that he wrote this say for somebody who doesn't have a specific minhag. But certainly, if somebody has got a minhag, either not to put it on, or to put it on with a bracha, or whatever his minhag may be, of course, the person should stick to one's Mesorah. I don't think that he meant to. And it's interesting also, I don't know how many people do you think that this night is a very I don't know. Do people do this night? I don't know. Yeah, people do. Yeah, is it quiet? Okay. I hear. Yeah, it would be a private thing. But it wouldn't, So the mice. That's what the Mishnah would suggest in his writing. But it would be interesting to investigate. But what? Let's say I'm saying there would be own personal Masoira that might not be necessarily. The psak, I mean, it's probably got to do with minhag. Although I did see that I think the Biskrov said that it's nothing to do with minhag. It's machlokes aposkim, but that's not chiddush. Pashtos, it's about minhagim over here. Some people have the minhag like Shulchan Aruch, some people have the minhag like the Ramah, and some people have the minhag like the Taz. The oit kos va'achroinim, the ein nochein shebeis hakneses achas. The Mishnah Berurah adds over here, in the name of the Achronim, the Malbim and others, that one should be careful in the same shul not to have some putting on and some not putting on, because of Lo Yitzis Goy to do. Any comments on that?
Yeah, no one keeps it.
No one keeps it. I think it's generally quite. No? I think it's true. It's true to say that in many places. Which place are you aware of that they are quite makbid on it? Ah, yeah? You've got to stick to the minhag of the. So. Yeah, so that's in those who request that, that's very much in line with this Mishnah Berurah here. Don't have one place, so I'm putting on and so I'm not putting on. And, It remains a bit of a mystery how this clear halacha, with this clear example of Rosh Hashanah to do, in so many places has come to is been neglected. I remember when we moved here, so I went on Chol HaMoed, the first Chol HaMoed. I davened in a particular place. I'm not going to quote the Rav. It's a very nice word. And it was Chol HaMoed, and it wasn't in this shul. It was somewhere else. And I saw that on Chol HaMoed some people did put on and somebody didn't put on. And I said, you know, I was wondering, like, what's the Rav being a big Talmid Chacham, being a real serious Talmid Chacham. I thought I'm going to approach him and ask him, what's Pshat with Lois is going to do? Why is the Lois is going to do here? Like, why? So I went up to the Rav and I said, I just want to ask, I felt confident that he's got a good Pshat in it. So he said, why is the Lois is going to do something? I'm putting on some, nobody's behind the Mechitza, would make perhaps more sense. He said, no, in our place, we've got Hakpod not to be Makbet. That's our Hakpod. In our place, that's our Hakpod not to be Makbet. So do put on, don't put on it. That's our Hakpod over here. It's a very, very nice word. It's a very, very nice word. But I'm not sure if that's mamash 100% bulletproof. I want to say that in Eretz Yisrael, you know, those of us who are to live in Eretz Yisrael for For what Netzol, they are very, very makbid on this. Very, very makbid. Netzol, you cannot put on tefillin in the shul. They'll throw you right out through the window. They'll throw you out. And that's in the Litvish shul. They really will. So I went to a few, and they're very makbid on that. They're really, really makbid on that. And there again, I went to, my meaning is to put on tefillin. So I went up more than once to some rabbonim and I asked, you know, my meaning is, like, you know, the Omar says you put on, and you know why. And they said that the minhag in Etzol is very, very much to be makbid on that, not to put on. In Etzol, you don't put on tefillin. So if you want, go and put it on at home. But in shul, you may not. It's the mamash problem is going to do. And that makes a lot of sense. I hear that. There's a real akbada, and people don't put on tefillin. You won't find a shul. I don't believe there's many shuls that you can put on tefillin with confidence. I tried only once, and I was literally, this was dangerous ground. I was nearly thrown out of the window. But I'm still here to say this. They're very makbid in Etzel, very, very makbid. Because it's a yeshiva of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch lived in Etzel Yisrael. Rama was in Chutz La'aretz. And the Shulchan Aruch says, we don't put on tefillin, I'll pick Kabbalah, the yeshiva, everything is very makbid on that. They're very makbid on that. So therefore, it's a very strong hakpada.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Rabbi? So what happens if somebody is now living in Israel permanently?
It's a very good question. It's a really good question. So somebody who settles permanently in Eretz Yisrael, there's reason to say that he should stop putting on, although they say that secretly the Bris Karov, so they say. I don't know, you can't know for sure, because the story in itself doesn't make sense, but they say that the Bris Karov secretly, even after moving to Eretz Yisrael, he secretly still put on tefillin. Secret enough,
surely.
Everybody knows about it. So.
But Rabbi,
no, but even then you can't.
Rabbi.
Even then you can't. It's not like a Chutz La'aretz second day minyan. They say, that's what I checked then. I remember the conversation with Yisrael Gantz. He said, even if you do a second day minyan and you plan to go back to Chutz La'aretz, even then you shouldn't put on Chol HaMoed, put on tefillin in a second.
I mean, in Chol HaMoed, get
10
people.
Yeah. And even if you close the Trisim and you switch the light off, you know, it's still people are very makbid. Don't. I wasn't allowed to do that. They said you're not allowed to do that. So that's the minhag in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishibu does say at the end, a community is not allowed to change minhag, which that itself is also very interesting halacha. Mishibu says a community in itself, in its own right, is not allowed to change minhag. So say you have got, Vosnes asked the Shail and Shuvas like that, there's a community that was more yekish for many years, and then due to demographic changes, the shul is now moved more chassidish, and the crowd is now non-tefillin wearers. Can the shul now not put on, as a community, the minhag change? And that's a very difficult challenge, because Mishmuel says, "Tzibur shenar gulan yachtvin enu l'shanas monogam." A community, a shul, is not really allowed to change the minhag. But again, some putting on, some not putting on, that problem is going to do. How that has disappeared completely, and how the halacha is neglected, that remains to be understood a little bit. To summarize what we learned this evening, we discussed the Shulchan Aruch's minhag not to put on tefillin because it's an ois throughout Chol HaMoed. The Rambam says you do put on and you do recite the bracha, but you do recite the bracha quietly. The Mishnah comes with a middle of the way approach that you do put on and you don't recite the bracha. Within that, the Mishnah suggests you should make a tznai. So your yoytzer called all opinions. The Mishnah also adds the important problem of Velos is going to do, and the Mishnah also adds that Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin is not to be on a Chol HaMoed, and finally that a minhag of a place is never to be changed. Having said this, I wish you a very good evening, and we're going to be seeing each other either tomorrow or on Tuesday, Be'ezer Hashem. Good evening.